telling what kind of weather we have around here nowadays. We go from everything from rain to sunshine, from cold to hot. So there's a lot of people that's under the weather tonight, and that got a runny nose and dealing with sinuses and issues like that. So just be sure to wash your hands and stay well if you can. But anyway, it's good to be here tonight, Wednesday night service here at Calvary Baptist Church, and prayer meeting, Bible study. Don't know about you, but I need to plug in tonight and get my batteries recharged spiritually. And but anyway, I tell you what, it's good to have Brother Don, Sister Carla with us tonight, and all the way from Cajamarca, Peru, and been there going on 22 years soon. Is that right? Going on 22 years, and a lot of work. Is it three churches in the area, in the local, I mean, in the, two, okay. What a blessing. For those that don't know, this is their home church, and they're just coming back to handle a few things, doctors and, of course, family and things like that, but we're just so delighted to see them every time they come back, and it's just a blessing. The Bible ministry there is thriving, and Bibles are going out. What are we looking like right now at this point with the Bibles this year?
Or we just finished 170,000 totals going out, and we got another container coming.
So just finished 170,000 Bibles going out, another container coming, and what a blessing. What an absolute blessing. So good to have you guys with us. And I told Jeff a moment ago, I said, well, I don't know how long we'll have y'all, but last time you were here, we started Calvary's Gospel Group, if you remember. And Miss Sharon, you remember that? So we may have to do a little something before y'all leave on a Sunday or Wednesday. I think it'll do the church good and do us good too, I think. I enjoyed singing with you guys. That was a great time when we did that. But anyway, we will go ahead and get into things tonight. I know we're having some technical difficulties, so remember that, if you would. We do have, of course, our online ministry of Facebook, and then, of course, our audio on our church page, on our church webpage. So we just remain in prayer that those two avenues are open right now so the gospel can go out and others could be part of the service. Let's remember some folks tonight. Continue to remember our children's home, our staff, and our leaders, house parents, those in the front office. Remember our kids. It's a countdown to the end of school, all right? We had the honor and privilege this morning of actually preaching the last Grace Christian School Chapel. Been doing that since Lily's been in fifth grade. You know, she'll be a senior next year. And so this morning we did that for the high school and then for the middle school. And it was bittersweet. It really was. I just fell in love with that school and the people and, you know, just that bittersweet experience, you know. But anyway, so just to remember that, all of our young people getting ready to be done with school. And summertime is just right around the corner for them. Let's continue to remember Miss Krista Sapp as she continues to recover. I messaged with Stephen yesterday, I believe it was, and talked to Brother Don just a minute ago about it, and she's doing good. She's down to one crutch. Okay. I'm assuming she had two in the beginning. Okay. So, but that's amazing. That's awesome. So let's remember her. Miss Carrie Bennett in her recovery from the stroke that she had. Miss Connie Teague continuing to get better. Lucy Godfrey, she has been busy with her sister Patina taking care of her. But sure do miss Miss Connie and Miss Lucy around here. Been a while since we've seen them, and hope they get back with us soon. Brother Harold, of course, his granddaughter Anna Kate in her health. Diane Ely, as she continues to recover from, it was the back surgery, it was the infection, and, you know, we're just been praying that she'll just fully recover and get back to feeling better. So our prayers are with you Miss Diane and Brother Randy as well. Jim Jr., he's not completely recovered yet from his foot surgery, so remember him. His mother, Miss Dawn. Miss Claudia, please remember her. Connie Norton, my grandparents, if you would. Our shut-ins, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCrickard, Joyce Manning, those serving the country, James Tolan Brown, Jamie Carden, and of course Kevin Brook at Champion Christian College. So that's the prayer request we have in our bulletin. We'll open up the floor. Maybe someone has a prayer request, an update, or a praise, or something they want to make mention of tonight. Now's the time. Sure will. Glad that Amy Barrett. Glad that surgery went well. We're praying for her. Anybody else? I thought I'll just mention this briefly. I believe it was Sunday night. We were on the way home from church, and the Zaxby's up here on Brownsville by Kroger. Well, there was an altercation that took place, and some people got stabbed. One young guy, I believe he was a younger guy. He actually died at the hospital. From what I hear, it was a rivalry from McEachern High School versus South Cobb High School. Some friction there between the two schools, and so a couple of people, some knives broke out. I mean, that's right here in our neck of the woods, so that was terrible to hear about that. You know, I really speechless. You know, our young people, younger people, social media, TV, music, it all plays a part in the overall actions of how people conduct themselves, especially some of our young people of today. But anyway, just remember this family, if you would. Anybody else? Yeah, Brother Dakota.
Gracie.
Yeah. Okay.
So pray that it works. It's a little bit more progressive.
Like, bless your heart.
Harder to hit the problem.
Yeah.
It's more like an injection than a pill. So just hopefully that it works a little better than what she's been doing.
Absolutely. We sure will pray for her. We seen her this morning in the hallway of the school. And so picked on her for a second. But we'll certainly remember her in prayer of this new medication. And Dakota's foot, so he's learning how to walk at his ripe old age. anyway, he had a little stumble jumping out of his truck, moving a dryer, I think it was. And anybody else? All right, well, let's just remember this month of May. Got a lot of things going on. And this coming up Sunday morning, this coming Sunday is Mother's Day. This will be our Mother's Day service in the a.m. at 11 a.m. And no p.m. service. Just take the afternoon, take the evening to spend, you know, with your mother, your loved one. Have some good family time. Reflect on the blessings of the Lord. Also, the following Sunday morning will be graduation Sunday. We have some graduating around here, so we are excited about honoring them. And typically that'll be our graduation service on that 18th. We try to make the message geared toward that, but toward everybody at the same time. So remember that. CLU, time to be announced. Remember the 31st is the last Saturday of this month. We are planning to have an outreach, and we're going to do that by means of a movie night outside on the premises. And we're going to invite people leading up to this time and, you know, hand out church literature, gospel tracts, also give them hot dogs and popcorn. And we're going to be watching The Forge, I believe, hopefully. Dakota? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother. See Dakota for that event, and he'll be happy to put you to work. And appreciate that, Brother Dakota.
Don't forget next Thursday night at the Children's Home at the Pavilion.
Yes, yeah. Okay, that's next Thursday night. You know what time that is?
5:30 until 8.
5:30. So a graduation party type deal, get together. Okay, next Thursday night, Children's Home. So if you want to come to that, that'd be great. Remember that. We also have Memorial Day in this month, so we will be thinking about that as well. Just a lot of things going on. And again, we're going to try to plan an outreach every month leading up to the holidays, like we did last year. And we got Operation Christmas Child meeting coming up too, the fourth Thursday of this month at 1 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Next Thursday, is it next Thursday or this Thursday, ladies' prayer brunch? This Thursday is the ladies' prayer brunch, 11 o'clock tomorrow. 11 o'clock in the fellowship hall, so remember that. All right, anything else? I think we're good. Okay, well, we always have a time of silent prayer together down here at the altar. If you'd like to come, please feel free, or you can pray where you're at. But we'll take this time, then Brother Jeff has a song for us, and we'll bring the lesson for tonight. Appreciate that, Brother Jeff. Yes, yes, yes. Amazing grace, the grace of Almighty God. What a blessing tonight. One more announcement I do want to make for those who are interested. There will be a work day this Saturday, 8 o'clock to finish the fence here, to repair the fence. For those who are interested in that, just want to get that out there one more time. And it's good to have our visitor tonight, and good to have you here at Calvary. All right. Let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 this evening. I've had this parable on my mind today, and of course we spoke at chapel for high school and spoke for the middle schools this morning. We were going in another direction with them, and but this has kind of been on my heart today, and the more I looked at it, the more bigger it got on my heart. And I want to mention some things here out of Matthew 25. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and I want to kind of give you the backdrop of what's going on. And Lord willing, we're going to try to be a blessing tonight and a help to you. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for all things. I pray tonight, for the next few moments, you would help us, Lord, to yield to you. I pray for a clear head, a calm heart. Help me to gird up the loins of my mind, as the scriptures say. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd use us to be a blessing to your people, perhaps a challenge, and there may even be someone here, Lord, who needs to just hear a certain word of correction. But Holy Spirit, you know exactly what we all stand in need of. Bless those that are watching on Facebook, listening on our webpage. God, I just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to stand one more time, Lord. Encourage our hearts tonight, Holy Spirit. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, we have a parable in these verses of the 10 virgins. Now, let me just say this before I even get started, that what I'm going to share tonight, it may apply to some in one way and to others in another way. So I wanted to get that out there up front. It's not my typical Wednesday night lesson or message, but I am going to share it like it applies to everybody. And it does. It applies to the lost, but also it applies to the saved. But I'm going to present it tonight like it applies, the whole thing, to everyone. And so you can just see where it applies to you. But it's the parable of the 10 virgins. This parable is a continuation of a conversation that Jesus started with his disciples in chapter number 24, in verse number 1 and 2. Notice there, chapter 24, verse 1 and 2. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So he starts a conversation there, and we have a continuation of that conversation. And he covers many different things. He changes and shifts his focus a little here, a little there. But in chapter number 24, we see that Jesus, he tells his disciples what will happen at the end of the age. He gives them the signs that will signify that his return is near. And I tell you, if there's ever a time and day that we need to talk about the Lord's second return, his return for the church, it's now. It is now. We are seeing things happening and unraveling and transpiring. The love of many has waxed cold. There are many believers that are not even in church anymore. And it seems like the gospel truth is is not embraced as much as it once was, and all of those things and much more. And so the Lord's coming back. And he could come back tonight. He could come back tomorrow. We don't know when he's coming back. There have been some I've heard of recently who tried to set some dates, Brother Ceylon. Somebody said that he was coming back during Passion Week, Brother Rich. So folks are saying that he's coming back in 2 years from now. Well, guess what? The Lord's going to make sure he doesn't come back with those dates that they set, just to prove that they don't know when he's coming back. All right? He says to just be ready. So after letting them know these things, Jesus tells them this parable of the 10 virgins. And so what is a parable tonight? A parable is simply this. It is an earthly story that brings a heavenly meaning. And so this parable, like many others, causes one to examine ourselves. And so this is a good thing, to know where we are spiritually. So if need be, we can make spiritual adjustments. All right? And so this parable in particular is about preparation and readiness. So with that said, I want to read from verse number 1 down through verse number 13, Matthew 25. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made." Makes me think of that song, "The Midnight Cry." "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, and notice this, and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Again, the title tonight is just simply "The Parable of the 10 Virgins." And I want to share some things that stand out to me from this parable. And I just want to try to use these things to make application to all of us, really. And there may be someone here tonight watching online, listening, that may not be saved. And you may need to get saved and trust Jesus as your Savior. And then for the rest of us that are saved, there's a message in this as well for us. And so let's see what the Lord might have for us tonight. 3 simple things about this parable. Number 1, I have labeled, "What's inside the lamp matters most." What's inside the lamp matters most. What's very interesting to me about this story is that all 10 virgins took their lamps to meet the bridegroom. All 10 virgins had lamps. Look at verse number 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." I want to say this about these lamps, these virgins, that if you looked at these virgins on the outside, they all looked the same. I mean, we're having trouble with it, but I had a picture, and And five of them had lamps that were burning, and five, they had lamps, but they weren't burning. And five were wringing their hands, and the other five were smiling. But they all had kind of like long flowing tunics, garments. And so there's this image that on the outside, all 10 virgins, they looked the same. And so you could just easily, by face value, assume that they were all ready to meet the bridegroom. I mean, they looked the same. They probably sounded the same. They all had lamps. But you see, as one can imagine, having a lamp was not enough. With no oil in that lamp, the lamp was virtually useless. So this leads me to a question tonight. In fact, two questions. Number one, are we focused on what the person, the lamp, looks like on the outside? Are we focused on what what we ourselves look like, the lamp looks like on the outside? Or do we care about what's on the inside? Is what it looks like on the outside of a person, is that enough to secure someone's salvation? They look like a Christian, they talk like a Christian, they go to church, they have a lamp. Is that enough to secure someone's salvation? No, it's not. It's not. It's not about the lamp. It's not about what one looks like. It's not about how one talks. What matters the most is what's on the inside. What's on the inside? And so in the Bible, oil represents the Holy Spirit. And so another question is, do you have the Holy Spirit? Like I said a moment ago in my introduction, I'm going to share this lesson like, you know, it applies to everybody. Some parts do, some parts don't. Okay? But the Holy Spirit will show you. Do you have the Holy Spirit within you? Romans chapter number 8, verse number 9, I'll just give it to you. The Bible says, "But if you are not in the ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So if the Spirit of God does not dwell within you, then you do not belong to God. That's as easy as it gets, you know. You know this. We could probably turn the church and you could teach me this, you know. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But if the Spirit of God does not dwell within us, we do not belong to Him. Again, doesn't matter what we look like, doesn't matter what we say, doesn't matter how pretty our lamps are, doesn't matter, none of that matters. What matters is what's on the inside. So, the good news is when God saves someone, the Holy Spirit takes up permanent residence in their hearts. Or in other words, puts oil in their lamps. Without the Holy Spirit, or without oil, as in this parable, we or a person are just an empty lamp. Just an empty lamp. What we have in our world today is a bunch of lamps. Some have oil and some don't. Some may be dressed pretty. Some may look churchy. Some may talk churchy. But the question is, do they have oil? Do they have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit tonight? And I know the answer to that for most of you would be yes, but there may be one here tonight in the building who may not have the Holy Spirit. Maybe one who's watching, who's listening through the internet, who may not have the Holy Spirit. And listen, there's coming a day when there will be a midnight cry, Brother Ceylon. There will be the trump of God that will sound. But listen, at that point, it'll be too late. Make sure you have oil now. It's getting dark now. Listen, people are lawless now. People are living life the way they want to live now. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be saved. But then we need to make sure that we walk with God closely so our lights can shine and we can be a witness for the Lord and that we could see our way through this dark world. Without the Holy Spirit or oil, as in this parable, we're just an empty lamp. So it does not matter how good a lamp looks on the outside. It's all about the inside. So point number one tonight, what's inside the lamp matters most. Now, there's a second thing I want to mention. Not only that, when it comes to this parable, but waiting requires lamp maintenance. Waiting requires lamp maintenance. So the virgins were awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom. This is what the story's about. In the meantime, preparation and maintenance was priority. Now, I want you to notice there's implication here, I believe, of salvation for half of these virgins, and the other half, no salvation. Now, verse number 4, notice with me. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So this is the five that took oil. They have it. It's in their vessels, in their lamps. But verse number 3 says, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. This could be symbolic to those who are saved and to those who are not saved. Most commentators believe that's exactly what this is. Those who took oil for their lamps, that pictures the wise, the saved, and those who did not take oil is a picture of those who are not saved, the foolish. However you look at it, five were foolish and five were wise. Five took oil, the other five did not take oil. And so, number one, waiting requires lamp maintenance. Make sure you have oil in your lamp, number one. But number two, there's a sobriety here. All 10, look at verse number 5, all 10 went to sleep. So not only make sure you have oil, all right, because we don't know when the bridegroom cometh, but then make sure you're awake. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all of them, even the wise, slumbered and slept. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And so there's a sobriety here. There is an alarm here. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Christ shall give thee light. Proverbs 16:11 says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. So there's a sobriety here. I mean, listen, the wise were asleep, the unwise were asleep. Peter, James, and John in the garden, they were asleep. Jesus was awake. He went to wake them up. Finally, he said, sleep on, the time of my, basically the hour of my time has come. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. But nonetheless, let us, those who have oil, who have the Holy Spirit. Listen, Jesus is coming, and it's so easy to fall asleep. It's so easy to get caught up in the church routine. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We've got goals. We've got, you know, things we're striving for. We have a vision here. We got things on the calendar. But at the end of the day, and the hustle and bustle of life, and all we have going on, and Jesus says he's been coming back, you know, for 2,000 years, it's been said. And in fact, some of the words of the last days will be, where's his coming? The prophet said he's been coming for years, and he hasn't come yet. And so it's easy to get bogged down in a rut and just go to sleep on God. Let us do what Ephesians 5:14 says, and awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Remember the other Wednesday night we preached on Eutychus? He was asleep. He fell asleep. Paul was long preaching. He fell asleep in the window and fell three floors down, basically, and died. Of course, he was brought back to life. And I know a little joke with that name, but I'm not going to say it because I have high regards for the pulpit. But ask me about it after church, I'll tell you. That name, Eutychus. But let us truly, and listen, you've been coming to church for years. I've been coming to church for years, and times are passing. We've got to be closer to the Lord's return now than we was years ago. We have to be. Have to be. And so let us, in fact, verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So there's sobriety here. But then there is a sanctity here. This is all under point number two. Waiting requires lamp maintenance, salvation, sobriety, and sanctity. Look at verse number 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They trimmed their lamps. These lamps had wicks or linen. And as they burned, occasionally the burnt part would need to be trimmed so that it would burn brighter. And so we could see that if they didn't trim those wicks, if they didn't trim their lamps, that leftover burnt stuff, it could actually hinder the clear burning of their lamp. Because of the leftover wick that was burnt, the linen that was burnt, it could actually cause the light not to shine that bright. In other words, if they didn't trim their wicks, if they didn't trim their lamps, yeah, they could have oil in their lamp, but because of the wick that needed to be trimmed, has your battery ever got low on your flashlight or whatnot? I mean, when it's real low, like if I put my cell phone on like the screen dimness all the way down, I could barely see it. If I put it all the way bright, I mean, it could light up a room. And so if you're walking in the dark, you want to have a bright light, not a dim light, because you can get off track with a dim light. These virgins, they needed to have their wicks trimmed, their lamps trimmed, their wicks trimmed, so that when that time did come, they'll have sufficient light to go meet the bridegroom. Do you know what I think is hindering a lot of Christians nowadays? Is that there's not much wick trimming. There's not much lamp trimming in our days. And listen, I'm starting with me. There's things that hinder me daily that only me and God knows about, that I deal with, I contend with, I strive with. Lord, please trim this back from my life. Take care of this, because I want my light to shine bright. I want to be ready when you come. And so many believers, many Christians are walking around with burnt parts or hindering parts of their life that needs to be trimmed. You know, we get offended by someone and we walk around with that feeling of being offended, and we just like this, don't know who to talk to and don't know what to do. We can get angry and upset. That will hinder your light from shining. That will hinder my light from shining. That will hinder our walk with the Lord. That needs to be trimmed. Or maybe we hurt somebody else's feelings, or maybe something happened, you know, at your home place, or in your marriage, or a relationship with a child, or you know, at school or your job. Maybe something is lingering, something's been there, and you're just wondering tonight, why isn't my joy full? Could it be We need to trim down some of that wick. I mean, it's just there. The flame is all the way down here, and the wick is like laying up here, dead, leaning over. Trim that wick and watch that flame go up. Give light to everybody in the house. I tell you, it's really something when it comes to the heart and what we experience as human beings, and you know, at work, at school, at home, again, church, and all these things, and we're dealing with a lot. But there is nothing like the freedom of being totally confessed, up to date with Jesus, totally repented. None of us are perfect. But the thing about it is we can walk as close to God as we want to. We can feel as much warmth as we want to. We can give off light, as much light as He wants us to. And all the He can see, He can navigate us through the darkness, dark areas of life. But you see, we gotta have our wicks trimmed. We gotta have our lamps trimmed. We gotta have a maintenance upon our lamps. So make sure you're clean. Make sure you're awake. Make sure you have oil. Talking about waiting requires lamp maintenance. So in a spiritual sense, we must keep an eye on the things that we allow in our life that could hinder our lamps from burning bright. Question is tonight, what do you need to trim from your life? What do I need to trim from my life? If you don't have any oil, there's no use to trim. We do have a lot of lost people, a lot of lamps out there that are interested in trimming their wicks, and they don't even have no oil. Somebody can clean themselves up. Somebody can roll over, and you know, somebody could turn over a new leaf and all of those things. But you don't have to worry about lamp maintenance if you don't have no oil, period. So number two, waiting requires lamp maintenance. Let me mention this one. Wanting oil when it's too late. Point number three, there's a want for oil when it's too late. Now, verse number six says this, and at midnight there was a cry made. I just wonder. I know it's a parable, but I wonder what that cry was. Don't worry, I'm not going to do a loud sound effect right now. But I just wonder. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Have you ever been woke up in the middle of the night with a loud noise? And you just woke up. That's kind of what I imagine here. Just a loud noise all of a sudden at midnight. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And so there we have it. They're going out to meet him. We see a sudden arrival of the bridegroom, midnight. There was a midnight cry. He came while they all were sleeping, and five were still without oil. Still. The five foolish must have thought before going to sleep, I will have time tomorrow to get my lamp full of oil. I'll have time tomorrow. And do you know, there are so many people in our world today across the globe. I'll settle the salvation thing tomorrow. You know, I'm doing my thing right now, and when my thing runs out, because I'm going to show God anyway that what I got going on, I know what I'm talking about, and I got my own purpose, I got my own way. And if that runs out, then I'll go to God. You know, there may not be a tomorrow. Proverbs talks about it. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. And so these, I'm sure they went to sleep as every other night. And, you know what? I need to settle this thing about my oil, but it's not going to be tonight because I'm tired. My favorite show's on. I want to watch it. I want to go to sleep. And I'll wake up in the morning, go to town and get some oil. At midnight, there was that cry. Ah! I tricked you. I did give it. I couldn't hold it back. I had to. A mixture of like a bird and something or another, some wounded animal. I was making that noise downstairs trying to scare Christy before church tonight. There was the cry, but too late now. Five were still without oil. Five had oil. Again, Proverbs 27:1 that says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Malachi 3:17, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels," take up my jewels, "and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." He's coming for his jewels. Are you one of his jewels? And so there was a midnight cry, but then when it comes to this point number three, wanting oil when it's too late, there was an attempt to take oil from others. Look at verse number 8. "And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil." I can see that fight right now. Just think about it. These women are getting up and they're scrounging around, and those who put it off, "Give me your oil. Give me some oil right now. You ain't getting my oil. I got my oil. You should have got your oil." Can you see the fight happening? I mean, the Bible doesn't say that, but I just can't help thinking about it. You know, it's just a bad place to be at that time. Midnight, give me your oil, for our lamps are gone out. What in the world? There was this attempt to take oil from others. And listen, I can't take your oil. You can't take my oil. I can't, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't passed down from generation to generation. I just don't have the Holy Spirit because a family member had it before me. I can't take the Holy Spirit. You can't take the Holy Spirit. They wanted to take each other's oil. But then there must be a personal experience. Look at verse number 9. "But the wise answered, saying, not so. Lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy it for yourselves." So there must be a personal encounter purchasing their own oil. The wise virgins could not give what they had. It was only sufficient for them. The unwise needed to go get their own oil for themselves. Wow, what a piece of scripture here. I mean, "Go ye rather to them that sell and buy it for yourselves." Well, there was no time to buy it. It was too late. You know, I'm kind of reminded of when Noah preached righteousness, the ark was built, and you know, the door shut. Now, I can't tell you this. This is not in the Bible. I'm just speculating. But can you imagine those people on the outside of the ark when the door shut? All the years they heard the gospel. "Please let me in now. Please let me in now. Please, I want to get in. I believe. But the door was shut. It was too late. And that kind of has me thinking along these lines here that the cry was made, it's time to go meet the bridegroom, but it was too late. It was too late. That's why the scripture says in verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And so that's the sobriety for us. That's the alarm for us as those who are saved, is to be ready to meet the Lord. But for those who are not saved, be ready to meet the Lord. Get oil in your lamp. Don't be left behind. We know that there's going to be a 7-year time period of great trial and tribulation called the Great Tribulation. Some believe this is going to happen at middle ways through the Great Tribulation. A lot believe that the first year to the middle year is when the Antichrist, you know, he's there and he's promising peace with Israel and peace. And then 3 years in, bam, that peace treaty's broken and it's known as the Great Tribulation. Either way, we won't be here because we're going to be out of here before the Antichrist is revealed. But listen, there is going to be a terrible time with all of these things taking place during the tribulation and all the seal judgments and all of those things being, the wrath of God being poured out upon all ungodliness. Don't be left behind. Don't be left behind. If you don't have any oil, receive the oil. And if you have oil, make sure your wicks are trimmed, because Jesus could come back tonight. And I want to be found faithful when He comes, don't you? I don't want to be found over here in the corner mad at somebody, bitter, ready to get out of the ministry, you know, just wringing my hands out, full of anxiety and fear and worry. All those things happen. But I want to be over here serving God, even if I'm bewildered in my mind. I can't count to five. I've got problems going on every end. It doesn't matter. I want to be able to stand with a clear head and a calm heart and preach God's word when He comes. In fact, I told the girls the other day, they don't like it when I say this, but I don't know, Brother Celan. I guess it's, Brother Don, Rich, you know, you're preaching and you feel kind of bold and the Lord's speaking to you and you're speaking the truth. But the other Sunday I was preaching and you know, I had so much coming to my mind. I wanted to get it out so fast, I couldn't keep up with it. And on the inside, I'm like, Lord, please, you're going to slow me down. But it was such an awesome time when God's word was going forth, and it got bigger than me. And I told the girls in the car, I said, I honestly felt like I was about to die, like drop dead with a heart attack preaching. And I said, you know what? What a way to go. And they're like, Dad, Christy's like, Justin Hales. I'm like, what? I mean, what a way to go. I'd rather go there than, you know, eating too many McDonald's burgers. I don't know. I do know this. I did a little family history searching, and I found out that I think it's my great-great-grandfather died preaching behind the pulpit. My great-grandfather on my grandmother's side, he went to the Roloff men's home. I believe it's in Texas. He was an alcoholic. He got saved. And one morning he was out there. Man, he was so excited serving Jesus. My grandmother said he was out there, you know, getting the boats ready for the men to go out and go fishing. Dropped dead of a heart attack and died right there in the water. But, you know, I thank God he was saved. Thank God he was serving Jesus. Thank God my great-great-grandpa did that. And I don't know, but at this point I'm almost meddling, chasing a rabbit. You know, but what a way to go, serving God. Not being over, just bombarded with cares and worries and routines. My goodness, He could come tonight, and I know everybody in this building would welcome His coming. Ain't that right, Brother Nettles? Let me mention this. Salvation is not handed down from grandpa and grandma. It must be received individually. There was this personal experience invitation given out in verse number 9. You got to get it yourself. But at the same point, at the same time, when the church is gone, it's going to be too late. And let me just say this. We did touch a little bit on end of time stuff. Those who have never heard the gospel will have opportunity to get saved during the tribulation, we believe. Those who have never heard. But those who have heard, it's going to be too late. And so we see this here, but at the same time, at the same point, it'll be too late to get in if you've already heard the gospel. When Jesus comes for the church, or you experience death first, don't die without the oil. Don't die without the oil. Accept Jesus. There must be a personal experience. And then lastly, I'll say this, there was sad words. Look at verse number 10. Through 13 briefly. Verse number 10, the door was shut, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Verse 10, the door was shut. Verse 11, unwise begging. Afterward came also other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Doesn't that remind you of those very familiar verses? Lord, Lord, haven't we done this in your name? Verse number 12, unwise denied. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Verse number 13, the truth, the sobering reality. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And so there were some sad words here. There must be a personal experience. There was an attempt to take oil from others. There was a midnight cry, all wrapped up in our third point, wanting oil when it's too late. Our second point, as we conclude, it was waiting requires lamp maintenance. And then our first point when we started was what's inside the lamp matters most. That's the lesson tonight, is just simply the parable of the 10 virgins. So I hope and I pray that there's oil in your lamp, that you know Jesus as your Savior. And most of you, by your own testimonies, you do know Him as your Savior. But there may be someone here tonight, or again, on the internet, that may not have any oil in their lamp, may not know Jesus as their personal Savior. And so tonight would be a great night for that. And at the same time, on the same token, maybe those who are saved, maybe our light has gotten dim a little bit. You know, maybe we just need to do some maintenance and trim back some of the wick so that it can burn brighter. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for all things. God, I pray that you'll just take the lesson and let us all just meditate on it and feast from it. We truly don't know when you're coming back, but we want to be ready when you do, for when you do. And I pray if there's someone here that's not saved, that doesn't know you personally, Lord, I pray that you would make it easy for them to come forward, to do business with you. We just love you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Be with us now. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Bring us back safely on Sunday. Lord, as we honor our mothers, Lord, which are a gift from you. And Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. All right. Anything else to mention before we conclude tonight? A couple minutes early? All right. Well, y'all are great listeners. Thank you for an opportunity again. And again, Mother's Day, we'll have, of course, Sunday school and morning service, but no PM service. And just be safe when you go home and tell somebody about the Lord. Invite them to church between now and then. All right? Okay, you're at liberty to go.